Okay.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to our Spiritual Weather Report call for April 2019. And it's really nice to be with you. Leslie and I are here together in our living room in beautiful Blader River Canyon, South Africa. And we have had such a delightful time together the last 6 months. It's been absolutely exquisite. And it's very hard for me to say this, but I'm actually leaving tomorrow for 6 months to do traveling and teaching. And so Leslie and I have had a very bittersweet, poignant few days leading up to this. And we're both sad, and we've got excitement about, you know, the new things that are coming ahead. So it's a mixed bag here. And I don't know about you, but we've been feeling so much acceleration. The acceleration just seems to continue, and the intensity. There seems to be no letting up, and I'm sure you're aware of that. Most people that I talk to, we all talk about it. Everybody marvels at the fact that this has been going on for years, and it doesn't seem to be letting up. So it's true for me, it's true for CoreLight, and the exciting part of it right now is it feels as though something's turned a corner. It feels like there's movement happening, whereas before it was almost like feeling a little bit in a holding pattern, and now suddenly things are moving ahead. It's like we're starting to see some of the physical results of the fruits of our spiritual labor. So if you've been doing a lot of processing, if you've been biding your time with a project, kind of waiting, you know, and laying the groundwork, building a foundation, fertilizing the soil and nurturing the seed, you're starting to see little sprouts of it coming up now. So that's very exciting. And I want to share with you some of the things that are happening at CoreLight. At the end of the call, I think we'll save it for the end, just because if I were to do it now or in the middle, it would just kind of break everything up. But it's very exciting. Things like we've got lots of events coming up in the U.S. And in-person events, and our website is finally going to be launched, most likely at the end of May. It's very close. My new book is going to be available when the website launches. So that's also very exciting. And we've got a South Africa retreat that we've just announced for March of 2020. There's an early bird price till June 1st. And also one of the U.S. summer events to highlight is the one in late June, June 27th through 30th. At the Institute of Noetic Sciences campus in Petaluma, California. I just want to bring to your attention, if you're not aware of it, that the early bird price lasts until May 9th. So it's just another week and a half away. So if that retreat interests you, you might want to go to our webpage, our events page, and take a look to take advantage of that early bird price. And I hope I get to see some of you there. So anyway, we'll talk more about those things at the end, but I just wanted to kind of mention them quickly right now before we get started. Leslie's sitting here smiling at me. She looks so beautiful. And I know we've talked today. I've talked to her about this call and asked her if she had a message for everybody, and she does. So I'm going to read you her message. As most of you know, Leslie's been in silence for a long time, for several years now, and she's saying not that much in silence at events anyway. Yeah. So anyway, let me share her message with you. It's right here. I took dictation actually. Leslie wanted to tell you, I'm living in a quiet, peaceful place, and I feel like I'm kind of hiding in the wilderness while I'm being moved to a higher level of awareness, working on bringing in a higher consciousness. I'm helping with the ascension of human consciousness, and it's starting to happen. Every country has its own shadow coming up right now, and living here gives me an opportunity to scan the global consciousness to see where the trouble spots are, and I can help smooth it out a bit. I'm exploring new forms of consciousness. The new consciousness coming in has capacities that are specifically developed for people to be able to transmute and transcend beyond the crappy stuff currently happening in the collective consciousness. And I asked Leslie if she had any advice for us right now, and she said, take it easy. Take a few moments every day just to pause and breathe and relax. Make sure you're doing self-care. The U.S. is at the epicenter of the changes happening in the world. So especially if you're there, this will help you to move through the challenges. All right. So that's from our beloved Leslie. And she misses you all so much and loves you all so much. We reminisce a lot. We talk about all the beautiful times we've had with everybody all over the world. And it's been very, very sweet. So anyway, just please know that Leslie's sending you her love and misses you. I don't know if you heard that. She said, I'm sending so much love energy out. That's all I do nowadays. Mm-hmm. That's what she just said. So in case you might be new to the calls, Leslie remains in silence during these calls, and she gives a transmission of healing energy. It's known as Shakti in the East. And so we invite you to be meditative throughout the call and receive the transmission. So whether you're live with us today or listening to the recording later, it really doesn't matter because we're all part of a field and we're all connected. And in that place, time and space don't really exist. The only place time and space exists is in the third dimension. So we're inviting everybody right now to tune into these other levels of reality beyond time and space where we're all connected in unity. And in the heart and in love and of one mind. So we'll all be receiving this transmission of light that comes through during the call. It comes from Leslie and it comes from the guides and from me and from everyone. We all put our love into this field. And so feeling each other. And this is a field we all participate in, that we all generate together, whether or not you're with us live, believe it or not. So why don't we start our call today with our guided meditation? And I invite you to pause and get quiet. And I know many people have to multitask while we do these calls, so this would be a good time to stop multitasking and just sit and get quiet. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. I hear the violins in the background. It's hard. But please take this time. Just give yourself the gift of being quiet for a few moments. So take some long, deep breaths, and we invite you to relax and feel the deep peace that comes from just being still. Allow yourself to drop deep into the stillness. Long, slow, deep inhales. Long, slow exhales. I find it's helpful to breathe in through the nose and breathe out through the mouth. Breathe in the light. And breathe out any tension or shadow. Breathe in the present moment. and breathe out any worries about past or future. Breathe in deep relaxation and breathe out stress. Feel all that light and life force pouring into you, filling you up. It's tingly and warm and comforting all over your body. Natural relaxation happens when you breathe deeply like this. And now I invite you to feel a warm, viscous liquid pouring over the top of your head like honey. And as it touches your scalp, feel it relaxing all the scalp muscles. And we're going to relax all the muscles of the body as this beautiful warm liquid pours over us. Feel it pouring over your brow, your eyebrows, relaxing your eyeballs as they fall back into the sockets, your ears, your nose, your mouth, your cheeks, your jaw, just deeply, deeply letting go and relaxing. Relaxing the back of the tongue. Feel how that relaxes the whole region in the back of the head and the shoulders. Oh, breathing in and breathing out. Relaxing the neck and the shoulders, the upper arms, lower arms, hands and fingers. Just deeply letting go. Relaxing the torso, the chest, the upper back, lower back, the abdomen. Relaxing the pelvis and the thighs and the hamstrings. Your knees, shins and calves. Ankles, feet, and toes. Deeply, deeply letting go and relaxing of all the tension in the body. Just feeling it wash away with this wave of energy sweeping over us. And so now I'll be quiet for a moment or two and scan your body again from head to toes. Just consciously bringing light and relaxation into any place that you might be holding tension. Feel as you relax how you lighten your load and how gravity just doesn't quite weigh on you the same. And you can feel yourself start to slip into a much more formless place where you start to feel the space between the molecules. And as you put your focus on that space between the molecules, it feels so good that you just start to slip into it even more. More and more until you're slipping away so much that the spaces between the molecules are much bigger than the molecules themselves. And this is the formless, shining void. Allow yourself just to feel it and merge with it, become it. Feel those spaces between the cells opening up, opening up. Feel the light pouring in, the light from the shining void, pouring into your being from every direction. And feel all the cells of your body like miniature sponges soaking up that light. Beautiful golden white light. This is the unified light, the light of the oneness. The light of the self, the capital S. Just visualize every cell of your body, trillions and trillions of cells, soaking up this light and filling you up. Your body is filling up with light. It's so warm and comforting, nurturing, and it makes you feel very peaceful inside. Letting go of any tension and slipping into this voidness, this formlessness. If any thoughts start to arise, you let them go. And in fact, you're feeling the space between the thoughts much more now, more than the thoughts themselves. And sometimes you watch a little thought cross your mind like a cloud drifting across the sky and dissolving. Mostly it's just sky, just empty sky, no thought. So just allow yourself to relax into this expanded, beautiful, luminous place. Very relaxed and expanded. And now let's put our attention on the Shoshana. Most of you know what that is, but if you're new to the calls, the Shoshana is the core of light inside our body. And it runs from the top of the head down to the perineum, the base of the spine. It looks like a fluorescent tube that sits just in front of the spine. So feel that place. Visualize it inside yourself and feel it. Put your attention there. And this is our core of enlightenment that we each have inside us. Just merge with that place. Merge with that core of light inside you. Feel the spiritual power that's there. Feel the unified field. Feel the luminosity inside you. It's a strong, beautiful energy. And now let's drop our attention down to the root chakra, the place between the anus and the genitals, the base of the spine. Feel the root chakra naturally open when you put your attention there. The natural relaxation that happens just by putting your attention there. Just allow it to open up. Relax into it and let go. Deeply relaxing. Deeply letting go. And drop your grounding cord from there down into the earth. All the way down to the core of the earth. The very center. connect with the core and commingle your light of your own Shishumna with the earth. And then draw that earth energy back up into your body, up through the soles of the feet. Feeling yourself connected with the earth. Feel your connection right now. Let's pause for a moment, and wherever your body is touching the chair or the floor, just focus on that. Focus on where your body is connected to the earth. And just feel what that feels like and allow it. Notice how gravity is pulling you down towards the center of the earth. And the earth, through the chair and the floor, supports you. And this is our Mother Earth. She is supporting us every day, every moment, in every way. We are held by her. And we don't often think about it. So just take a moment now to feel it. Feel that sense of support, that nurturing quality, like a mother would give an infant. Feel yourself like that little infant, deeply letting go into the arms of Mother Earth. Deeply relaxing and letting go into her embrace. Feel yourself slipping right in like a little baby, completely cared for. And feel a sense of safety. Feel how safe you are right now. When we feel safe, we let go of any fears, any tension, any worries, stresses or strains. Letting go, deeply letting go. Feeling that deep, deep peace. And then bring that earth energy all the way up through the body, up to the center of your head, to the cave of Brahman. And if you've been around Kolat for a while, you know exactly what that is. But if you might be newer, the cave of Brahman is the place a few inches behind the third eye, the place between the eyebrow, the place between the eyebrows, just a few inches back from there, and then between the ears, and where those two lines intersect, that's the center of the head. And just visualize that center point inside the head. It's where the pineal, pituitary, and hypothalamus reside. So just feel that place inside you. And you'll know when you have it locked in, when you have it dialed in, you can feel it kind of click. And it's a place, it's kind of a magic place where thought stops. And where you feel an expansion of your energy. So it's okay if you're not able to get there, but if you're not, just set your intention that you'd like to be there one day, and it will come in time. And for now, if that's you, you can just visualize it and try to hold that space. And right now I'm feeling a lot of us in this place. We've become of one mind. There's a beautiful field that's generated from this activity. And so let's all visualize we're all holding this place together. It's actually not separate places. It's not inside each of our heads. There's actually only one, and we are each it. So visualize all of your brothers and sisters in the Core Light community around the world on this call right now or listening in the future. We've all merged our caves of Brahman. Just feel that unified field. Feel the beauty of it. Feel the expansion, the oneness, the deep, deep peace. It opens the crown chakra. Wide open, allowing the celestial energy to pour in from above. Feel it filling you up. So as you allow this filling up, and as you hold this cave of Brahman space, I'm going to say a prayer and an invocation. We call on all the guides and the teachers and the angels and the ascended masters and all the beings in the invisible realms who surround us in the highest love and support. We invite you into this call. We ask that you please surround us in a cocoon, beautiful, loving white light, beautiful, luminous energy, uplifting energy. May this energy fill us up. May we soak it in. Become completely illumined in every cell of our being. We ask that you please guide our conversation into the highest wisdom, the highest love. And we're so deeply grateful for this gift that we receive, and especially for this time that we share together to share our love, to share this opportunity to be of the one mind and to connect in love. We thank you. Deep, deep gratitude. Aho. And when you feel ready, slowly bring your attention back into the room and into your body. Slowly wiggle your fingers and toes. Slowly open your eyes. And return to the present physical moment. And again, we invite you to just remain in this meditative state throughout the call. We invite you to just go yin, where you're just receptive, so that even if we're talking, you can remain receptive to the light that's pouring in. So again, welcome, everybody. If you joined us late, Leslie and I are here in beautiful South Africa, and it's actually our last day together for a while because I'm leaving tomorrow to travel and teach for about 6 months. So we've had a bittersweet few days here as we have just reveled in the 6 months that we've spent together. It's been absolutely beautiful and delightful. The love that we've shared has been beyond the beyond, and this place where we are is exquisitely beautiful. We feel very blessed. Feel like we're living in paradise here. So we're sending you that energy. Feel that African Dreamtime energy coming at you right now. We're both in it, and we're just breathing smiles and light because it's such a beautiful place and such beautiful energy. So we share that with you today, and we're grateful that you joined us. So let's see. One of the things that I wanted to talk about that's happened in the last month since we last spoke is the burning of Notre Dame in Paris. I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, have heard about this already, and you know, so many people are talking about it and what the implications are. And of course, you know, we look at these things at an archetypal level. We look at them from a metaphysical level, and of course, you know, when a building, an iconic building like this, burns down, it's definitely bringing attention to something. So we see that fire is a cleansing, it's a purging. And of course, Notre Dame in French translates into English as Our Lady. It's the mother. It's the Christian version of the Great Mother. And so it represents the feminine, the archetypal feminine, and specifically, you know, the Christian version of that. And so really, what I've been feeling is that this is an important moment. It's an important thing to pay attention to because it signals this shift in paradigms that we've been all talking about for so long, the shift from patriarchy into a new paradigm where the feminine power has risen and come into balance with the masculine, the new paradigm of the heart that's coming, or that's actually partly here already, it's being birthed right now, is about this balance of feminine and masculine. So we're letting go of an old form of how we held the masculine. I'm speaking we of humanity, of how humanity has held the feminine in the age of patriarchy as subservient, as inferior, as disempowered. And so there's a new birthing happening now. It's the death of this old aspect of the collective consciousness and the patriarchy. And it's moving into a new way of viewing the feminine power, the rise of a new kind of feminine power. Specifically, what I would say is it's equality. It's the equality of the masculine and the feminine. And that's really what I see about this, that that's what this heralds in collective consciousness. And I don't mean to be, if someone is listening to this and you're a Christian or you're raised as a Christian, I certainly don't mean to be sacrilegious or offend anybody in any way, because I know that many people are grieving. There's a lot of loss, and, you know, it is a sacred building to Christians. And so to lose that is painful. And so I honor that. I honor everybody who's going through any sense of loss or grieving. And yet, I also, as we honor that, it's also important to acknowledge the meaning of this. And so to open to the new, to open to the meaningful aspect of the new, you know, it's like the phoenix that rises from the ashes. Whenever something burns down, it's not the end. There's also a birth. There'll be something new that comes out of this. And so if you are one of those people who are grieving, that's totally fine, of course. I mean, that's exactly what you need to do. And allow it, feel it, let yourself grieve, let the heart have it to do. And then there'll be a moment where it's time to open up to something new and to see what's beyond the letting go of the old. And, you know, what a lot of people are not really talking about these days, and it's something I love to talk about, is the connection between masculine and feminine balance and the opening of the heart, because those two things are directly related. One goes with the other. They're mutual. And I think this is a critical point to see that connection between those two. So maybe that's part of this shift. Maybe that's part of what's happening here, is that, you know, as the masculine and feminine come more into balance, the love can be born and the heart can be opened. And that's what this new paradigm is about. The new paradigm is about the heart. It's about love. And in fact, you know, the events that I'm going to be leading in the U.S. this summer are very much about that. It's something I'm passionate about. I feel so strongly about this. And if you've been on these calls for a while, I know you know that. Leslie also was. She talked a lot about this. It feels critical to talk about. We're all in this. So anyway, we'll be exploring that more this summer if you care to join us at any of the events. And the last thing, just to wrap up Notre Dame, my intuition is that there's a lot more going on with this than meets the eye. What we've heard in the news is not the whole story, and that there'll be more coming out. It might take a little time, but there'll be more information coming out, and it might reveal some of the shadow aspects involved, and we might we might have something new come forward that facilitates the shift in consciousness. That's the sense I have intuitively. So, we'll see. But I pray for that. One of the themes that I wanted to touch on, and we do touch on this a lot, but I feel it especially came up this month. I want to share a couple stories with you. The theme is gratitude. And even though we do talk about it frequently, I want to touch on it again because it is so important. It is one of the most important things that helps us get through these challenging times, the times of intensity and acceleration. And the reason I bring it up is Leslie and I, last weekend, we had a visitor here. It was Allie Drummond. If you were on our February call, you met Allie there. She was our guest speaker. Allie healed herself from stage 4 bone cancer. She was in a wheelchair and unable to move and do anything for herself at all. And she came back from the dead, literally. It was a miracle. She is a walking miracle. And she looks so full of life force and joy. It's just truly miraculous. She's an inspiration to all of us. So she was with us for about a week here at Blader River Canyon in South Africa. And Leslie and I, she requested to be ordained as a Core Light minister. And so Leslie and I co-performed her ordination last weekend. And she led us through her first act as a minister. She led us through a beautiful gratitude ceremony that is Native American. And what you do is you put little bits of tobacco in little colored cloth and you tie them up and create a string of these little sachets. And with each one, you hold it next to your heart. Mm-hmm. And with each sachet and each little bundle of tobacco, you look inward and you feel what you're grateful for. And you spend as long as you want or as short as you want on that thing. And you just feel in your heart, you feel the gratitude. And allow your heart to open and allow the gratitude to soak into the little sachet of tobacco. And by the time an hour has passed and you've just been feeling gratitude for all these different things in your life, just various things that arise, you're as high as a kite. And just wreathed in smiles, full of joy and, and love. So I say this because if you need one quick fix, if you're in a tight spot, and you're feeling a shadow, if you're in a dark night of the soul or just a difficult time, that is a ceremony that you can do at home. You don't need to know the Native American version, but you can do something similar on your own, just feeling gratitude for all the different things in life, just for having a body, even if you might be in pain in your body. Just having the body is a miracle, and so we can feel grateful for that aspect of it. The other thing that happened to remind us of this miracle of gratitude was last night was Anna Breitenbach's event, and I know many of you have heard us talk about Anna Breitenbach. She's a dear friend and a colleague. She's one of the world's greatest animal communicators and interspecies communicators, should I say. And last night she had a video conference call. Some of you may have been on it, and it was so beautiful, so profound. She's been ill, and she hasn't worked for a few years. So this was her coming out last night, and it was absolutely delightful. In fact, I'd like to share just a few of the things that she touched on. There was a message. She was receiving messages from the oversouls of several animal species, and she shared those with us about the state of the earth and about humanity. Excuse me, about humanity. And I just thought I'd share a little bit of it because it was so moving for us. First of all, she was saying that the animals have so much compassion for humanity, for essentially how we've lost our way, really, how we're locked into separation, and that we don't see our connection with them and with nature and with the earth and with each other. And so they really feel for us way beyond what we're doing to them. So she stressed that. She talked just about the sheer compassion coming out of our animals, our domestic pets. As you know, if you have a pet, a domestic animal, you know, but especially the wild animals as well. And she said especially the animal species which are going extinct. She said it's amazing how much compassion for us they have. And their message specifically is about gratitude. Their message to us is about gratitude. She said some of these animal species, oversouls that are going extinct, you know, they say to her, appreciate what you have. Tell people to appreciate what they have. Tell people to return to their hearts and to feel. Don't think. And also to rejoin the community of we. Rejoin the community of we. So when she shared this with us, we were all deeply moved. We just felt like, wow, you know. And she said it's not like they're not saying this out of a sense of victimization, you know, that poor them, that they're leaving, and so we appreciate what we have. No, it's not that at all. They don't have judgment about it. Yes, they feel pain. They feel great pain, but they don't judge us and project hatred or anger at us. So anyway, I don't want to go into the details. If this interests you, if you want to get the whole recording, they've decided, Anna and our friend Victoria, who hosted her call, Victoria Moore, they've decided to make the video, the replay of the video available for the month of May. So if you go to Victoria's website, emanationofpresence.com, you'll find on the store there, you'll find the video for sale, and it's only available for the month of May. So if you'd like more information about the animals, it's a great way to get it. This is also a little bit of a fundraiser for our friend Anna, who hadn't worked for a while. So this is not just a great opportunity to receive amazing wisdom and love and light, but also to support Anna's return. So thank you to all of you who joined and to anybody who gets the video. So yeah, gratitude, that was important. I wanted to share that. And the last thing I'd like to share was what touching on this point that Anna was just mentioning about these animal species going extinct. And I just thought we should probably just touch on the extinction for a moment. You know, we don't talk about it very often. We used to talk about it a long time ago, and we realized it didn't serve to talk about it very much because it was just depressing and people just sort of tuned out. But occasionally, I do think it's important to just acknowledge that we actually are in the midst of an extinction. And if you've read The Sixth Extinction, there's a book called The Sixth Extinction. It's brilliantly written and simple. You know, it's a quick, easy read. It shows you that that's what's happening, and there's no judgment about that. It's important not to take that and to project into the future with it, to project Armageddon scenarios or, you know, some kind of horrible fate that awaits all of us, because the truth is that nobody knows what the future holds. We can't know. And I don't even think the invisible realms know, because it hasn't happened yet. You know, there are many timelines, and we're only here right now. We're in the present moment. So I feel it's important to acknowledge this and to acknowledge that, yes, we are in it. We are in an extinction right now. So what do we do about that? You know, how do we handle that? And I would say the first thing and the most important thing is to witness, practice witnessing. If you've been around Core Light for any length of time, or if you've read the Marriage of Spirit book, you know what the witness is. The witness is that part of us that is a neutral observer. It doesn't judge. It's not like an internalized parent that judges good or bad. It simply observes dispassionately. And the witness is actually, when we establish a witness, it's the beginning of connecting with our higher self and our soul essence. That witness is that connection to that greater part of us. So that's the first step. I don't want to talk too much about that. The witness is a whole seminar in itself. But if you're new to Core Light and you're interested, there's a chapter in the Marriage of Spirit book that talks about the witness. It's one of the most powerful tools that anybody has on the spiritual path. Different teachers and different mystic schools through the ages have all talked about the witness in different ways. That's just what we call it, is the witness. But it's a fundamental principle on this spiritual journey, the journey of awakening, witnessing. So it's about feeling what you need to feel, allowing the feeling. It's not spiritual bypassing. It's not suppressing. It's not denying. But it's just feeling it. If it's heartbreak or grief or sadness, whatever it is, you feel it, and then you invite those feelings and encourage them to move through you and let go of them. That's the most important thing, is feeling and letting go, and feeling and letting go. And if the emotions of, you know, negative emotions, whatever they might be, if they get stuck in us, then it's important to process that shadow. That what that means is, if it gets stuck in us, then that we've got a pattern. We've got some kind of egoic pattern that is a sticking place for the shadow. And it's actually an opportunity. It becomes an opportunity then to clear that piece of childhood programming or past life karma or whatever it is that might be holding you back and not allowing those emotions to pass through you, not allowing you to let go of them. So also when we look at this topic, it's very much about the polarities, the archetypes that we often talk about, of victim, tyrant, and rebel, and savior. And of course, the animals appear to be the victims, and, you know, humanity appears to be the tyrant because we're polluting and destroying habitat and so forth. And very often, you know, what we can get stuck in is the savior patterning, because, you know, we want to try to save the animals. And on the one hand, there's nothing wrong with that. Of course we want to save the animals. Of course we don't want to see them suffer. We don't like to see anything suffer or be destroyed. And yet, saviorism is really a polarity, you know. This is an experience that the animals are having. We all call in the experience that we need in life for our own growth. And for whatever reason, something we can't fathom, this is what the animals have chosen. And it's what we've chosen. We've chosen to be in this position of feeling either like we're the tyrants, or maybe we feel like we're the victims of it too, that, you know, we're trying to save the earth, and here we're also being extincted in a way, you know. So whatever polarity you're taking, whether you're feeling identified as a victim or a tyrant or a savior, or maybe all three at times, that's a process. You know, that's a journey. That is an opportunity for each of us to clear our consciousness and to do whatever processing we need to do to let go of that. Because really the truth is that, you know, there's just the oneness. There's just the is-ness. It's just being. We're just experiencing here. You know, we are souls. And these bodies and this earth are just ephemeral. We're here for a few years and then we drop away, drop the body away, and we remain. And it's the same for the animals too, the same for the earth. So it's important to remember that. And if we feel like we're, if we feel like we're struggling and, you know, losing all our energy because we're trying to fix something, it's important to remember not to get out of balance with it, because in truth, there's nothing broken. This is just what's unfolding. And it would be a savior process to think that we can save anything, really. So I know this can be a challenging conversation. It brings a lot up for people when we talk about this. But I'll just give you my own personal experience with it. When I look at this, you know, when I really let myself feel, yes, I feel the grief. Yes, I cry. Yes, I allow it to pass through. I feel fear. I feel all kinds of things and allow it to pass through. But in the end, what it does for me is it fans the flames of my passion for my own spiritual path and for the work that I do, because it's all about ascending in consciousness and living in the heart and living in the witness. And if we can be in that place amidst one of the most challenging situations we could possibly ever face, then we've really grown. We've really moved much closer to becoming the oneness, to becoming the love that we truly are. So I keep coming back also to the work that we do, which is about changing the world by changing yourself. If we're out there trying to fix something, really what's happening is we need to look inward and we need to say, what is it inside myself that I need to fix? What is this a mirror of? Because the outside world is just a mirror of our own unconscious self. So it's as Leslie's always told us, the greatest gift that we can give the world is our own awakened self. And that means doing this work, doing the work in consciousness, you know, specifically doing our meditation, doing our egoic clearing work, our shadow clearing work. So I get excited about that. I do. Amidst the grief and amidst the other things, the challenges that we face, there's also that. It's all of it. The other thing that comes up is, I know sometimes we feel like, you know, we're just one person and we're not very powerful, and what does it really matter if we make a little shift? It's not going to save the world. But the truth is that, well, we know, I think, you know, if you've been around a while, you know that that's not true. That's just the ego talking. And Anna, last night, she mentioned something that I thought was beautiful. I'd never actually heard this example. I've heard of similar examples, but not this one. So I'll share this one with you. Anna talked about Greg Braden and one of his books that he's written. He's a scientist who writes books about consciousness. And he said that actually scientifically this has been proven. It's about change. For example, if you have a village, a large village, it only takes a handful of people raising their consciousness to affect everybody in the village. And the number he gave, it's actually an equation. And he says that change has been proven with the square root of 1% of a population. So, for example, if there's a village of 900 people, it only takes 3 people. The square root of 1%, 1% would be 9 people, and the square root of that is 3. So it only takes 3 people to make a change in the village, in consciousness. And nobody even has to know that they're being influenced by those 3. You know, it just happens. And I know that most of you on this call know this, but it's really important to talk about and remind ourselves of that this is what we're all doing. You know, we're all doing this work and we're all doing our part. And you don't have to be an avatar. You don't have to be an enlightened guru to make the difference. It's your own shift in consciousness. Every small shift we make affects that many more people. It's exponential. So I get very passionate and excited about that. So just to wrap up, and then we'll open up to questions and sharing. I guess I want to say, as we talk about all these reminders, just a reminder to regain our perspective about these times of enormous change and extraordinary intensity. And the perspective, I think, is about love. It's to remember that that's where we're going. And that no matter where we are on this journey, it's about loving. So we remember that we're souls having a human experience and that we are at the most extraordinary cusp of human evolution ever. We're just about to enter this new paradigm of the heart, and we're the pioneers. That's why we incarnated. And it's exciting. It's like, even amidst these challenges, you know, we're the pioneers that came to do this, and we get to do this and experience it. And it's just the beginning of it. We're just about to taste. We're just tasting it right now. It's just birthing. So there's a lot more to come. It's a revolution, essentially. It's a revolution of love, a revolution of the heart. In fact, in the word revolution is love spelled backwards. If you take the R away, letters are love spelled backwards. And I always remember something that Barbara Marciniak said in one of her books. If you know her, she's a channel. And back in the 90s, she wrote a book. And she said, her spiritual guides that she channels said, we as a soul group, and I would say that's all of us on this call and many, many, many more spiritual seekers around the planet, we're all connected as maybe soul groups or combined. We're one soul group. But if we could have a business card, the business card would say systems busters. And that's why we came in. We came in from whatever planet or star system or wherever our soul is from. And we came here for this great show, this great opportunity, for the fireworks that are happening right now. So we're at the end of a very, very, very long journey as souls. And the journey is about love. The journey is about becoming love. It's about opening to love. It's about choosing love in every possible moment that you can. And the truth is, if anything's going to save us, it's love. If there's anything that's going to save the planet, it's love. So I feel like really that's the focus. That's where we need to keep coming back to. It's very simple. Okay. So I think I'm done. Barbara, are you there? Barbara, I think you might be muted, my dear.
Here I am, Brad. That was wonderful.
Thanks, Barbara. So why don't you tell everybody, Barbara, how we can raise our hands. And I invite you all, please, if you have a question or you want to share, there are probably a lot of people. There's usually quite a few more than we have time for. So when you speak, please remember to say everything you want to say and also try to be as concise as you possibly can to save time. Thank you.
Wonderful. So if you're on the phone or web call, you can press star 2 to raise your hand. And if you're on the Q&A, you can write something in and we'll be happy to check in and see what you'd like to share or say or ask. Okay, so We do have a couple of hands raised. Star 2 to raise your hand. And so the first person is Tia. Tia, you have the mic.
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Brad. That was beautiful. Very
appreciative. Oh, thanks, Tia. Nice to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's great to be sharing. You and Leslie and Barbara have been in my dreams, and I appreciate it so very much. I was just going to share about the word your, because I've been really, since last year, especially just the teaching of other as self is not just the teaching, but the being with the unity of other as self is upon me. And just even using the word me, I feel the flip of the M to the W. And the word your lately has been, every time it would come to my mouth, I feel the E that the Y is in Latin languages is and, so it's inclusive, and the rest of the word is our. So every time I would say your, it's our and our. And it's just part of the languaging showing
the way. That's beautiful,
Tia.
How beautiful.
Yeah, it feels really good. It helps keep in because so many times a judgment will start with your, and it's helpful to transmute that. And then just lastly, I would share about Notre Dame. I stay away from the news as much as I can, but yet I certainly don't stay away from it completely. But it just seems to me that that was such a transformation of a masculine structure, the spire, because that's indeed the part that fell. And it was just such a fierce fire of the feminine coming in. It was like a gender reassignment surgery, quite frankly.
That's great.
Yeah. So, all my love, thank you so much. And if I can make it to, I believe you're going to be in Denver?
Boulder.
Boulder, yeah. If I can make it.
I'll be doing events in Boulder in August. We haven't picked the date yet, but some weekend in August.
That sounds wonderful. Well, thank you so much. Much love to everyone.
Thank you, Tia. I look forward to seeing you there.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tia. Okay, the next hand raised is Thelma. And Thelma, you have the mic.
Hello, everyone.
You might be muted. Oh, there you are. Hi.
Am I?
Hi, Thelma.
Hi, Thelma.
Hi, Brad. So good to hear your voice.
You too.
If I fumble over my words, please forgive me. I have memory problems. So what I wanted to share was this past Thursday, I got up and went to the bathroom about 12:30. In fact, it was 12:38. I looked at the clock and came back to bed and tried to get back to sleep, and I couldn't. All of a sudden, this dark energy, I felt this dark energy, and it kept getting heavier and darker and heavier and darker, and I just said, I don't know who you are or what you are, but if you're not of the white light, you are not welcome in my home. Leave. And it just kept getting heavier and heavier and heavier. So I laid there and went into my heart, and I pulled in. I established I waited until I could feel my aura and the pulsating of energy in my hands, and pulled in my aura into my heart and then used the seven keys and went down my Shoshana and into Mother Earth and came back up and then went in the front of the heart chakra and out the back and went out into the infinite and used the keys to make sure that I was open as I went out. And I came back in through the front of the heart, and I just did this kind of a figure eight for, it went on for well over an hour. And as I was laying there, all of a sudden it got difficult to breathe, and I kept taking deeper breaths and deeper breaths and deeper breaths, and it didn't seem to help. So I got up and went in and got in my meditation chair and continued to do this, and it went on again until, well, when I finished, I felt a relief in my heart, and it was, I saw and felt a white square in my chest. And when I got up and went back to bed, it was just the beginning of the dawn, and I fell asleep, and I got up, and when I woke up, it was 8 o'clock. I never sleep that late. And I got up, did my morning chores, and, you know, cleaned myself up, got dressed, fed the kitties, and then it came back again. And I sat down in my recliner in my living room and put on some meditation music and sat down and did the whole thing again. I had this terrible ringing in my ears. I need the music to drown it out. And so this liquid mind, as a matter of fact. And I sat there and started the whole procedure all over again. And doing the same thing, you know, up and down, in and out the heart chakra. And this, again, it lasted, I don't know, an hour. I don't remember exactly, but it was at least an hour or two. And this, again, when this, I just felt this peace when I finished in my chest, and it was, again, a white square. And I thought, that was really strange. And I thought, and I didn't associate the square until the call this morning, but at first, what I thought was, I used to get these feelings when there were tragedies that happened and within the world, you know, big earthquakes and things of that sort. So I watched the news for a couple of days, and nothing like that happened. And meanwhile, I'm thinking about this, and I thought, well, if it was something really big, it would have been on the news first thing, because I don't watch the news. I watch the local news until the weather comes on, then I turn it off. And but I thought, well, maybe it was something like that was happening, and maybe I don't know what difference me as one person could make, but anyway, I felt that, and then I thought, well, maybe you were clearing a bunch of your old, you know, your stuff or something. I mean, is there something that you have to say that you think maybe this might have meant or whatever? Because the only other time I've had this really dark, dark feeling like this was when my stepdaughter died, God rest her soul, and she'd been on drugs and alcohol and had cleared herself up before she had passed away, but she had a stroke. And when she died, It awakened me at night, and I felt this heavy darkness then, but it lasted about 3 days. That was the first time it had happened, and in fact, I had to have some friends come in and help me clear it out. But,
Thelma, what comes to me to say to you is you're not alone. I know so many people going through similar things, not exactly the same, but similar. And the truth is that none of us really know exactly what's going on. It's like we're all working with energy. We're all doing our part for this shift. And we can't necessarily know exactly what it's all about. So you were obviously doing a piece of work, you know, and you did it. Sounds like you did it well a couple times. So whether it was personal or collective or whatever, I don't know that it really matters. You know, I feel like, you know, I'm not getting an intuition as to what it was. But of course, you know, the white square is a symbol, so you could work with that. You could work with whatever that represents. I don't know exactly what it would be. I know squares are stable structures, you know. So number four is about physicality and completion and stability. So you could work with that and see what comes for you and pray and ask to be shown what this was about if you really want to know. But the truth is, I don't know that it matters that much. You know, you did what you needed to do. You got through it. And, you know, it's great.
Thank you. That, what it represents, it isn't important. The fact that it happened.
That's it. That's it. And that you listened. You woke up. You went and did your meditation. You did your process. You did all the, you pulled out different tools from your toolkit, the seven keys, whatever else you used, you know, you did meditation, you did all those things that you needed to do, and you got through it, and you healed something. So God bless you.
God bless you. God bless this lovely world and everyone in it.
Indeed. Indeed.
Thank you so much. I love you.
Please get love you, Selma. Great to hear you again.
All right.
I will.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Beautiful. Beautiful, Selma. And Selma, if I could share with you that what I saw when you were talking about the square of white light, what ended up happening was it shifted. The square shifted from a square and went into a diamond and overlaid on top of the square into a Merkaba.
Because it felt so good. It felt so good and clean and pure and true.
Yes, I can feel that so much, Thelma. And I thought, too, wouldn't it be interesting if you haven't done it already, and I'm saying you, but I'm really talking about we, to do a square on shadow and light.
Shadow and light.
Good. The desire and fear of shadow and the desire and fear of light. That would be really beautiful.
Right?
Yeah. To come into. So thank you, Selma. It felt very big and very powerful.
Oh, bless you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing.
I feel better just sharing.
Oh, good. Good.
Good.
Yay. Much love to you, Selma.
And likewise, Barbara, and to everyone on the call.
Yes. Okay. So just to remind you all again, it's star 2 to raise your hand. I'm checking the web. I don't see any questions or comments on the web. And, Brad, there are no more hands raised. Oops, here comes somebody. Here comes a few people. Here we go. Hold on. All right.
They were just shy. They needed
yes, they were just
Barbara.
Waiting to see. Okay, so the first one is Mari. Hi, Mari. You have the mic.
Hi, everybody. I don't have too much to share, but I haven't been able to be on a call in a while. We recently moved from Los Angeles to Seattle, and just the schedule has been really crazy. So just happy to be on the call this morning and hear everybody's voices.
Glad you're with us.
Thank you. I just was in a really bad accident last weekend running with my dog, and I fell and had a concussion. And so
recovering
this weekend, which is also why I've been able to be on the call. So kind of an unexpected treat from having a concussion. But it's certainly been a strange experience, just being completely off balance and, you know, emotional swings. And but it's been very helpful to be on the call and hear the meditation and do the sharing. So I just wanted to thank you and say hi to everybody.
Well, I'm glad you joined us.
Thank you.
I want to tell you, it's interesting, isn't it? You know, these things that happen to us, whatever the accidents are, they all have a meaning. And I have another friend who had a concussion a couple of weeks ago, and she was telling me about her experience. And what she was saying was true for her was that, and she got hers because a huge dog jumped up on her and knocked her over backwards, and she hit her head against the wall. And he was just being friendly, you know, he was being friendly, but the impact knocked her over, and she got a concussion. And what she said it meant for her was spirit was telling her to stop and slow down. So it sounds like maybe that might be a message that your higher self is trying to get through to you, that maybe it's time to try to work that into your schedule a bit more, is to stop and slow down so you don't have to be knocked down.
yeah, that does. And you know, it's funny, it actually was my dog too that knocked me over.
Oh, really?
Same thing. Yeah, we were running. I was talking with my dog, and he saw something and just out of nowhere kind of darted across, and we both just took a really bad spill. So that's how that happened.
Wow.
But yeah, I do. I am getting that. I had family in town this weekend, and I was really trying to do stuff with them, and it just was making me feel worse. So today I'm just doing nothing.
Good for you. That's exactly what you're supposed to do. I'm glad you could join us.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, thanks, and lots of love to everybody.
Love to you.
Thank you. Yes, thank you, Mari. And, you know, it feels to me like many of us are being rewired. And in order to be rewired, we need to be still.
Mm.
And when we're, you know, busy getting on with life, it can be a little challenging to be still. So, you know, sometimes we need a little extra added help.
Yeah.
And,
Don't I know it.
So to have that time, especially with your new move, you know, I'm sure you're excited about, you know, integrating into a new space.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it can, you know, we want to speed things up to feel settled in. And actually the gift awaits us in the interim period if we're willing to just be present and be still with it. So I really thank you, Mari, for that reminder. I think we can all use that reminder of taking some time to be still. And I love that our animal friends are so there for us and so willing to help us when, you know, we get caught up in, you know, the throes of life.
Yeah, I know. I forgot to thank him for knocking me over. He's sitting here with me right now, actually.
Yeah.
So.
And maybe to say thank you for bringing me back into the present moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Instead of running out ahead of myself.
Yeah, right.
The
world
thank
has
you,
a great
glad you're doing better.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so next hand raised is Linda. Linda, you have the mic.
Thank you. Hello. I don't want to take very long this time because I took too long last month, but I had a fall also.
Oh, wow.
Friday I was going a couple doors down to get a massage from a wonderful woman friend who is very spiritual and has been like having somebody from Corelight lived next door. It's just been wonderful having her here. Anyway, I decided to take a shortcut over a rock wall, and I didn't make it, and I fell backwards. And I didn't break my hip or anything like that, but I landed on my elbow, which my right elbow is very tender still, and it definitely put me down into a place where I had to get grounded in a more healthy way. Even though it's been hurting, it has really been a blessing and a lesson, and I just wanted to sort of align myself with Mari and say, yep, I know what that's all about. And I feel grateful for my fall, too, even though not at the immediate moment. But it was a good experience for both for me and for Janice, who was giving me the massage, because, some other women from the beach were the ones that picked me up right away and got me to Janice's door. And she cleaned up my elbow, and then she had never given a massage with ice before, she said. But she did use ice on my elbow, and then later on my knee and on my back, and she figured out how to bring the bright light, the healing light, in through the ice bag as she moved it around. So it was a good learning experience, and I have definitely had a much more concentrated kind of meditation going on since then. And this morning's meditation, Brad, was absolutely transcendent and glorious, and I thank you so much for it. It was beautiful.
Oh, Linda, you're so welcome. You're so welcome. Thank you for joining us today, and God bless you. God bless you with your healing.
Thank you. Yes. Oh, and the other thing I wanted to mention, the burning of Notre Dame happened on my 80th birthday.
Oh my gosh.
So I thought there was some kind of symbolism in that.
Indeed.
Really,
yeah, very auspicious,
me.
Huh?
Yeah.
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 Well, I know that you're committed to working with those feminine energies, so no accidents, right? No coincidences.
No accidents, no coincidences. And as little obstruction as I'm capable of, you know, I'm trying not to obstruct the process.
Death and rebirth.
That's enough. Death
and rebirth.
I just want to send all my love to everybody on this call. I feel so blessed to be a part of this. Soul community, the sort of little foretaste of what unity consciousness is really going to be like when I finally get there.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank beautiful you. Linda.
Oh, my love.
Yes, and happy birthday, Linda. And
yeah, happy belated birthday.
Yes, and eight is the symbol of infinity.
Yeah.
And with a zero added to it, it is infinity magnified. So just being in that energetic feels quite lovely.
Well, I feel blessed right now, and I feel lovely even. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you, Linda.
Okay, and next hand raised is June. Unless Tom's going to surprise me. Hi, June.
Oh, Tom surprised you. Are you kidding me? I had an illumination this week. In regards to, and it sort of ties in, I guess, to the witness. So I was so glad that Brad was talking about that this morning. But I could see the direct correlation to, in my words, owning your shit, to the level of happiness that you were at. And I hadn't really made that correlation. And somebody else was going through something, and I I just could see it, and then I could, of course, see it in myself. But it was just, basically, they're just miserable. And all around them, every clue is telling them, you need to look at this. You need to look at this. And they refuse to look at it. And so they're going deeper and deeper and deeper down. And I just thought, well, that's why I'm feeling different, is because I'm saying to myself, and really to people around me, I'm owning my shit. I don't care how messy or smelly it is, I'm owning it. And the byproduct of it is happiness. And I just hadn't made the correlation yet. And when I was watching it, I was like, oh, that's how you get happy. That's how it is. And unfortunately, this person's not ready to hear any of it. But it was really great to be able to see it, because we all know, as we talked about, you know, just the three people in the community, the more I work, the more, I mean, it helps me, but it helps everyone around me and anybody I'm connected to. So anyway, I'm just grateful.
Thank you, June. Beautiful.
Great awareness, June.
Joy. Yeah, joy and gratitude go hand in hand, right?
They do. They do indeed. So, but, you know, it's just, it's that heaviness that when you make the realization, or when you start doing the work, the heaviness is not as heavy anymore. And even though you may go down deeper, it's still, you have that witness that knows that, okay, we're looking at this, we're processing it, it's not who we are, it's all part of it. And there's the detachment that happens in that. So you can just see, it unfold, and you're safe. You know, you feel that it's not the end of the world. And when, you know, when you're in your crap, you think, we're never getting through this. This is the moment. We're dying here. And yet you come out the other side. So anyway, that was my share.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Thank you, June. Okay. So the next hand raised is Chris Berlin. Chris, you have the mic.
Thank you, Barbara. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Chris.
Hey. I have absolutely no wisdom at the moment to share or experiences, but so I'll make this brief. But first, I just want to really celebrate and highlight, Brad, the direction that you're taking us, and that, you know, the baton that you now carry. After all these years of being with Leslie, and I'm just so overjoyed at that we're going to be continuing to be guided by your wisdom and your awakening and your practices and all that you have to offer. So deep, deep gratitude. And I know that for several years, as things have been unfolding with Leslie, who we all just send lots and lots of love back to as well for all that she gives us. That I think almost metabolizing that grief by having you help us with this and bringing us the light as well. So deep, deep gratitude. I'm really looking forward to all the things coming, and just feeling really grateful. So I don't feel like it's a goodbye, but at the same time, I honor the changes that you're going through with her, and you know how hard it can be, I think, to grieve even in little ways. So if someone, they change. So anyway, love to everyone. That's, I guess, my message. and the only thing you can say at the moment. But I also resonate with the last caller who talked about heaviness, and it's interesting, after a week of just really crazy busyness and starting to settle now on this call, recognizing the heaviness that sometimes is the fallout after a tremendous amount of energy is expended. And I'm just feeling that heaviness come and go quickly. So thankful also to her for highlighting that particular quality. So.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for your sharing. It's really very, very sweet. And I'm touched that you would bring that up on the call. And, you know, I feel all of you on this call are my family, my spiritual family. We're all part of the same spiritual family. And so, you know, I'm grateful that you would say the things you said, Chris. And I want to say what I've said to many people about the baton passing. You know, in December we had the baton passing retreat, and Leslie actually handed me a metaphoric baton, which was a crystal. And what I said and what I continue to say is I feel like I accepted that baton on behalf of all of us. You know, it's not just about me becoming a spiritual teacher. This was something Leslie wanted for all of us. She always said, for, you know, you've been around this long. Anybody who's been around since the 90s, we all remember Leslie kept saying, please don't project your spiritual authority onto me. Please take your spiritual power. You know, you are spiritually powerful beings. Take your power back. And so I feel like that's what's happening to all of us, especially those of us that have been around a long time. You know, this is the gift we receive from Leslie stepping back a bit, is that we're now required to step forward and step into our own spiritual power. So anyway, I feel like I accepted that baton for all of us because we all got handed the baton. And I'm the one that's visible now. You know, I'm the one that kind of got shoved out onto the center stage under the spotlight, and I didn't look for that. It just happened. And so I'm surrendered to that, and I'm happy. I'm very excited to do it. I'm absolutely thrilled, you know, that I get to travel around and see everybody again and share what Leslie taught, you know. So it's just wonderful. And also, there's one other thing I want to say about it that feels important to share. This book that I've written, it's called Living with Enlightenment, A Journey of Love. And it's really about Leslie. And I keep mentioning that to her. She's giggling in the corner. She's looking at me like, really? Is that about me? She wonders why anybody would write a book about her. it's really the book that I wrote was it's my story, but it's 90% of it is about my story with Leslie and what Leslie taught me. So it's my writing about what Leslie taught me. So so really, it was intended. The book was always intended to be an honoring of Leslie and really a completion of a cycle. You know, she taught us for 30 years, and so it feels like that milestone needed to be honored, and that's why I wrote what I wrote. So I'm just I can't tell you how excited I am that I get to offer this, and I think, you know, part of, as I was writing it, I felt like it was a healing for me. You know, it was, to write the stories down was a healing for me, and I kind of felt like it would be that for other people too. I just felt like, you know, it's for the community, really. It's for all of us.
Yeah.
So I offer it in that spirit, and it's going to be ready when the website's ready, which should be by the end of May, we hope. And So anyway, I'm glad you brought it up, and I'm happy to be able to talk about it. We don't talk about this much, so it's nice to be able to do that. So thank you.
Beautiful. And thank you, Leslie. I know she's there listening, and for just your continued transmission and for loving all of us, continuing to love all of us.
Well, I have to confess, Chris, I'm sorry, she can't hear you because I got my headset on, so the speaker is not on, but I will play the recording for her later. She'll get to hear you say
great.
That when we listen
yeah.
to the recording.
But
I'll let her know as well. Yeah, thank you. And also, just for everybody else's sake, I want everybody to know Chris lives in Boston. He's on the faculty of the Harvard Divinity School, and he's invited me to come next year and do an event in Boston.
So
I'm really looking forward to that. And
me too.
More, stay tuned. Yeah. So thank you, Chris, for the invitation. And I can't wait. It's very, very exciting.
Yeah, me too. That sounds great. I love to all. Thank you.
All right, my friend. Love you. Bye-bye.
You too.
Thanks,
bye.
Chris. Okay, and so we have Melody. Melody, you have the mic.
Hello.
Hi, Melody.
Can you hear?
Hey, Melody.
Hi. Hi. Lovely to be here. I came a little late,
glad
so I missed
make
the
it.
First part. Yeah, thank you. Good to hear you. It's lovely to be here with everyone. You know, I just kind of came in as you were talking about Notre Dame, and I, you know, as I sure as many of us felt that this was a very much more to the event than what the 3D world is seeing. And I was reminded, I've just gone back to Patricia Cota Robles wrote an email and a vlog shortly after that, and I just found it incredibly interesting, her comments about the burning of Notre Dame, and along the same lines as what you just said, Brad, that it really is the fire is a taking down of the old, and something new is going to come from it. And she also talks about that. But another piece that I thought was so interesting that I didn't know is she said that during the week before the fire that consumed most of the Cathedral of Notre Dame, 12 huge statues representing the 12 apostles were removed. These masculine representations of power and authority were considered the guardians by the French people. The 12 statues have been taken to a special place where they're being refurbished and transformed. And I just thought that was so incredible. That then she goes on to say that, the purging of the fire blazed through the structure, but that it was really about the old guard has to be removed and transformed back into its original perfection, which represents the divine masculine and the divine feminine, and that spirit needed to use something pretty aggressive to have that be accomplished. So I was just reminded of this article and how the mystery is just always so incredible, and I wouldn't be surprised, like you said, that more comes of it, and that it happened during Holy Week, was also
right.
I think really incredible. Yeah,
it is.
So I just,
thank you, Melody.
Yeah.
I haven't read that article yet. I saw that you or somebody sent it to me, and it's been sitting there, and I keep thinking, oh, I'm going to read that, and I haven't had a chance to, but I'll go read
it
now.
Well, yeah, it's just there's a section kind of halfway down titled The Burning of Notre Dame, and it's just several paragraphs, so you could just cut to that part and read it. I found it very interesting. Yeah. So thank you for the call today. It's lovely to be with all of you.
Thank you, Melody.
Thanks for joining us, Melody. Great to hear your voice.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we have one last hand raised, and we're going to need to
get ready to stop. Yeah, so thanks, Barbara. I was just going to suggest this will be the last one just because I need a few minutes to just share with you some of the things that are happening at CoreLight that you'll want to know about, and then we'll end with a prayer.
Wonderful. Okay, so Tia, you have the mic.
Thank you. I will make this short. The other things that we can expect to see occur with the $1 billion raised and now knowing, for me, the 12 masculine archetypes were removed, that to me just represents the splitting of the worlds and that it's a free and infinite universe, and we're going to witness some interesting things. But and so then also I wanted to thank June because she really helped me unpack some aspects that are without a doubt up for me and so many of the we, and that is owning your shit, you know, the illumination. And I had spoke real quick about how my dream time has been definitely bringing in what you are for me, Brad and Leslie and Barbara. And I went through a ceremony in Dreamtime with, it was real interesting. Long story short, there were symbols. I've been seeing a lot of symbols and signs, and I feel like Thelma has tapped into, there's an energetic that is held in the form, in the symbol or the sign that of the white square, and then with the diamond, that's just so feminine to me too, is besides the Merkaba. But I was going to say that at the end of this dream where Leslie was officiating at the ceremony, Brad, you were most definitely there. As a matter of fact, I rode to the ceremony in a car with Leslie driving, and you were in the passenger seat, and I was on your lap. And you were much larger. Yeah, I thought you might. And you were much larger than, you know, you would have been in, like, real life representation. I thought that symbology was really fascinating. And at the end of the dream, with these symbols and all these just symbols and colors that were going on, I woke up to the word very strongly, illumination. So I just thought I'd share that. Love you. Thank you.
Oh,
beautiful.
Well, we probably represent an aspect of your divine feminine and your divine masculine. And so your dream is about when the car, in a dream, the car represents the ego. You know, it's the vehicle which helps us to move through life. And so your divine feminine and divine masculine are driving you somewhere, and you know it's representing some new illumination.
I love it
because you were in the front seat with them and on his lap.
I'm so grateful that the higher self is bringing through that representation with you and Leslie in my walk, because it gives me such a beautiful peace and knowing that all is well. And I thank you so much. And just even to tap into what Chris said, my head was nodding big time yes with everything he said, because I just so appreciate you, Brad. I've been involved for about 8 years now with our soul family, and getting to be a part of the journey with you, because it was a witnessing for these past 8 years of watching you so humbly and so softly and gently coming into the calls and starting to, you know, just do more and more, and it's just been beautiful. So I've enjoyed your unfolding.
Thank you, Tia. It's very sweet of you.
Thank you, and thank you, Barbara.
And there's another piece of your dream that's just coming to light, and that is it's interesting that the feminine was driving, because usually in the patriarchal world it's the man who drives. So you had the feminine driving the car, and mm-hmm. you were sitting on the lap of the masculine. The masculine was in the passenger seat. So and Leslie and I have represented that, where I was the container. You know, I created the container through which she could teach. So my role was to create the physical form. The yang part was to create a form so that the yin could shine her light. So that, I think you're seeing in your dream the metaphor of that in you.
And your form was larger, too.
So the yang,
that was
yeah.
really interesting.
Yes,
that you,
I hear
you. You're holding it
I
well.
I get it, yeah.
All
thank
right.
you.
Well, thank you so much.
Beautiful, Tia.
All right.
Thanks for sharing. Okay, we have one last comment on the Q&A, Brad. Real quickly, important info about Notre Dame, too. This is Christine saying, news of the incident at the Al-Qasa Mosque, the third holiest site in Islam and central to the ongoing Arab-Israeli conflict, was largely overshadowed by a much larger blaze engulfing the Notre Dame Cathedral. At the same time, there was no evidence of any link between the two fires. So very, very interesting. Thank you for
wow.
that input. Yes. It's
that
the masculine
is interesting.
And the feminine.
I hadn't heard that piece.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, Leslie and I have been in the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem. I know that place. It's amazing. Very interesting. Something's going on there. I'm going to start researching that. Thank you to who was it? Christine.
Christine Hoda. Yes.
Thank you, Christine. Yeah, I'd like to know more about that if you wouldn't mind emailing me what you found out, since I don't watch the news anymore. So, okay, let's move forward so we have time for our prayer at the end. I want to just mention a few things. First of all, the next Spiritual Weather Report call is going to be June 2nd. That's 5 weeks from now, and we're skipping May simply because we have retreats happening. I'm co-leading a retreat in the UK, and there won't be a free weekend to do it. And the same with Barbara for the Squares call. So we'll skip May for the Squares, and Barbara's Square call will be June 23rd. And you can go to our events page to see all the dates. We picked the dates through the summer, so you can go check that out. As I mentioned before, we've got a South Africa retreat we just announced. I'm really excited about it. I'm co-leading it with Ruth Garland, and it's March 5th through 19th. And there's an early bird. You save quite a bit of money if you sign up by June 1st. So if South Africa has ever interested you, I invite you to please consider it and join us here. And you get to see Leslie, too. And I would invite you to also, if you're getting thoughts of, oh, I could never go, I don't have the time, I don't have the money, or whatever, just let that go. Really, your role is to tune in and see if it's your trip. And if you get a yes that you're meant to be there, then the money will show up. Make the commitment to come and the money will show up. So we invite you. We'd love to see you here in beautiful South Africa in March next year. And then also I mentioned I'm going to be doing a couple of events in the U.S. called the Alchemy of the Heart, Uniting the Divine Feminine and Masculine Within. And the first one is in Marin County, California, at the Institute of Noetic Sciences campus in Petaluma, and that's June 27th through 30th. And the second one is in Portland, Oregon, at the Unity Church, July 11th through 14th. And the early bird special discount price is available until May 9th. So just another week and a half. If you're interested in coming, I would love to see you at these. I think they're going to be very powerful. It's a theme that I'm passionate about, and I would love you to join me. So please do consider coming. And, again, check it out. It's on our website if you want the brochure. And, again, you'll save a significant amount if you sign up by May 9th. And then I wanted to mention that another event that we had planned for July in Portland is been postponed till September, October, and it's called Alchemy of Awakening, Embodying a New Template of Divine Light. And I'm co-leading that with Lina Burnson and Catherine Witteman, and it's going to be very powerful. So we'll just stay tuned. That'll be sometime in September, October. There's also, as I mentioned, there'll be an event in Boulder in August. And we have fixed the dates for the Albany event. We've postponed the Albany event from was going to be in August, and now we've scheduled it for October 26th and 27th. And those dates are firm. It's the theme is going to be similar. It's since it's a shorter conference, it's not going to be the entire alchemy of the heart, but it'll be part of it, and it'll be especially focused on love in action. And Tara Herrick, who is on the call with us today, she's the very gracious person who invited me to come, and she and our dear friend Chris Berlin are going to co-lead a Kirtan event on the Saturday night, which will be a fundraiser for Seeds of Light. So we're very excited about that. Chris is going to bring his guitar from Boston and come visit us. So I hope you'll all consider coming if you're anywhere near the Northeast. Come and be with us. It's going to be a wonderful, heartwarming event in Albany. And you can check out the information as it comes forward. The brochure hasn't been launched yet, but that'll be coming soon. I've also been invited to go to Santa Fe and to Reno, Nevada, Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Reno, Nevada. And those events will be sometime in September, October. And so stay tuned for those. Lastly, the event that I didn't mention yet is we've scheduled the All-Student Conference, the All-Student Virtual Conference that we do every year. If you're in Spiritual Warrior or Enhanced Self-Discovery or are a graduate, you're invited to attend. Anybody can attend from anywhere in the world. And those dates are October 18th through 20th. Again, October 18th through 20th. And we haven't put it on our website yet. We just set those dates. So stay tuned, and we'll get you more information about that. Let's see. I mentioned the book and the website are launching at the end of May, so please stay tuned. We're very excited about this. It's been a long time coming, as you know. We've been talking about this for ages, and finally it's here. And very last, Barbara, would you like to speak about the course that you're leading?
Yes, thank you, Brad. And I just want to acknowledge the movement of the energy that I'm feeling into, and I'm sure many of us on the call are feeling into as well, even as you're sharing about these upcoming dates and the fact that many have the opportunity to come and be together in the physical. It hasn't really happened in so long, and it feels like a culmination of the old and an entry into the new. So I just wanted to acknowledge
that. Thank you, Barbara.
That.
I feel that too. No, I do feel it, and it feels important to name it, so I'm glad you named it. Thank you.
Yes. And so, and thank you for letting me announce. I am going to be doing a week-long online retreat from the 13th of May through the 19th. And it's going to be an immersion into squares processing. And it's mostly going to be online. There will be a couple of videos, a video in the beginning and a video at the end. And then there will be perhaps one or two actual squares processing calls during that week. But if it's something that you feel called to do, that you want to really immerse yourself in the squares processing techniques at an even deeper level than we do on our monthly calls, I would love to have you participate. This is being generated, this week-long retreat. I've been invited by students or actually graduates of Lucia Renee. Many of you may be familiar with her. And actually one of the newer spiritual warriors, Susan Mills, and I don't think she's on the call, but she'll hear the recording, connected Elizabeth Wood, who was a seer and scientist, and myself together. She felt that we could really benefit and help each other. And I am going to be co-facilitating with a woman by the name of Meg Archambault. And so she is a profound squares processor. She does it in a very intuitive way. And so we're really excited and looking forward to collaborating together. So I feel very blessed at being invited to this, and I would like to invite any and all of you who might be interested. There'll be probably in another week or so, there will be a brochure that will be sent out. So if you are interested and you'd like to let me know, you can do it through Core Light. I would love to have you join. So things are beginning
Barbara, why don't you just please give people your website address again so they can go and find out about it there too, okay?
Yes, my website is www.bridgetotransformation.com. And you can connect with me that way as well. So thank you. Thank you, Brad. Thank you for all your love and support. Thank you, Corlai. Thank you, Leslie. Deep, deep, heartfelt gratitude for all that you so generously give and share and support each and every one of us with on our journey.
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you for all the work you do in the background. You make these calls possible, and I'm deeply grateful to you.
Well, thank you, Brad. I love doing it.
And you make so much possible for all the spiritual warriors and all the students. You're amazing.
Thank you, Brad. Right back at you.
Thank you. All right. Well, okay, we're at the end now. Barbara, is there anything else that you need to say before we close up for the day?
No. That would be just a reminder that we will not be having Spiritual Weather Report or Squares Call in May. So just a reminder in case those of you who are looking.
Yeah.
We'll continue in June.
Thank you. Yeah. So, great. So, I'll see you again on June 2nd and Barbara on June 23rd. And then if you need that information, we'll be sending an email out soon, but also it's on our events page. You can go check that out. So we're at the end of the call, and let's close our circle today with a prayer. And so I invite you to relax and take some long, deep breaths. Close your eyes. And go deep within. And just let go. If you're multitasking, give yourself the gift of just a few minutes of silence and stillness. So just drop into that space with your breath. And as you feel yourself grounding to the earth, feeling your shushumna, opening your crown to connect with the celestial realms. Feel your body as the center point between heaven and earth. As you hold that space right in your heart, the heart is the center of the body, so it is actually the center point between heaven and earth. Hold that space right in the center of your chest. Feel the love. Visualize your heart like a radiant sun, a miniature radiant sun burning brightly inside your chest. It's a beautiful rose pink color, rose quartz pink color. Feel it shining, penetrating your chest and filling up your aura, as well out the back and the sides, expanding its love. Feel the warmth and the love that it generates. And the quickest, easiest way to do that is to remember your love of spirit. And also remember Spirit's deep love for you. As you feel those two things, you'll feel the love building in your chest, and you'll usually get a smile on your face. and just feel that love expanding with the radiant sun, expanding until it encompasses your whole body, filling you up with love and joy and absolute wonder and delight to be a soul incarnated in a human body for a few years on this beautiful planet at this extraordinary time. What a gift. What a blessing. So as we all hold this beautiful, brilliant space of love, let's merge our hearts so we become one heart. Feel your heart merging with everybody on the call and feel the love that we all share in the one heart. And as we do this and feel the joy and the love and the community, the sharing of this circle, I call on Great Spirit, Divine Mother, Father God, the self that we all are, calling on all the angels and ascended masters and celestial beings, all the invisible beings who surround us in the highest love and support. We are calling on you now. Thank you for joining us on this call. Thank you for filling us up with light and love and joy. We pray for this earth. We pray for all its beings, all the sentient life on the planet, the animals, plants, waters, the land, Mother Earth herself. We pray for all humans, all who suffer for any reason, all who are ignorant of the light, especially. And we share this radiant ball of love that we are, the one heart that we are. We share our love with everyone and everything. We ask for a blessing on all life. Through our awakening to love, may we bless every person, every being, in every moment that we encounter. Silently blessing this earth. Because the greatest gift that we can give is our own awakened self, our love that we truly are. Thank you. Thank you, Spirit. Aho. And thank you to all of you once again. Blessings for the month of May. And Leslie and I look forward to seeing you again on June 2nd. Have a very blessed month. Bye for now.